to him. Cast all our care on him because he's going to take us through it.
Well, I think we need to change our attitude about that. We can have the perception, well, that's when life ended, or we can have the perception that that's when life begins. Because we did have, you know, with the seed concept you're just talking about here, there is a death of that seed.
Absolutely.
But what is the profound thing here, because that's planted in the ground for a harvest, not for a death. It's planted in the ground for life that will bring about harvest. And I think here about the scripture here in John chapter 15, verse 5. It says, I am the vine, and Jesus here is speaking. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, let me talk to you real straight. Some of you had grievous loss, sorrow. I mean, it's been horrendous. Now, if your focus has been on the fact that you've been detached from something, if your focus has been on the loss, rather on the fact that you're a part of the vine, then you may have stopped that vine life from flowing into you, that anointing from flowing into you that's a part of the resurrection. See, God knew, in fact, your sorrow, your grief, perhaps you lost somebody in a car accident or something happened. I mean, you kissed them goodbye in the morning and they didn't come back at night. The next time you saw them was in the morgue. All right, but you see, that was not a surprise to God. And you need to realize that God wants you to be hooked up all during this time of loss and the sorrow and all of the things you've gone through, the death. You need to stay hooked up here to the vine so that vine life can flow through to you and it will nourish the new life. See, sometimes we say, well, here I am existing here at death. Well, today we're hoping that we can get you to churn and change your view of things to where you're looking forward to the harvest and not back at the dying. And that's so important because God wants us to go on. Now, even when Satan brought things into your life, maybe he brought an accident that took someone very close to you, or a disease, and it took down that person, took them down into death. But you see, there's a more positive side of this if we'll just open our eyes and allow the God really to run the projector, the movie projector, so to speak, and project that future. He can do that. He wants to do that, and he will.
Amen. It says in verse 6 here of the 15th chapter of John, I think this is so good for Christians that are getting pruned. You know, pruning does hurt. It's a cutting away of some of the stuff that isn't counting for our lives. But it says in the 6th verse, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. Oh, Darren, I see a lot of people dried up. I see a lot of people in the body of Jesus Christ. They're not alive. They're not well, spirit, soul, and body. They're dried up.
They're shriveled.
They're shriveled. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are destroyed.
And you know, as teachers of the Word, Barbara, we have to stay close to this vine life.
Amen.
If we don't, we don't have anything to share with our people.
That's right.
And they know that. I mean, they know that. So I'd like to move and pray right now for our friends here listening to this message, because it's so important that we make a decision here.
You know, I have to say one thing. About 3 years ago, you caused me to make a decision. And as you told me when we were first married, Barbara, if there's any time that you need to just grieve over John, you know, or take his picture or spend a day, that's fine. And you have been so precious through all of that. But there was a day like 3 years ago, and you said, Barbara, I believe it's time to close that door.
You know, I remember we were standing on the landing going to the bedrooms in the second floor of our house, and we were kind of halfway up the stairs. And I realized there's something snapped inside of me, and you started to cry, and I said, no, wait a minute. And I remember taking you by the shoulders, looking right in the eye, and saying, now listen, it's time for you. See, and it wasn't a harassment. For me, it never was. God really gave me grace in that to try to stand there and always be there for you and that kind of thing. And I'm not patting myself on the shoulder. That was Jesus. But that day, Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, look, it's time to shift gears here. It's time to lay it down, make a decision that you're not going to be grieving over this anymore.
That's right.
You'll still have the memory.
No, and it's gotten more joyous, Darren, since I put the grief and sorrow down. And as an act of my will, I chose, like when you pray right now, there are some of these people, precious friends. You're going to change your heart. You're going to choose today. And that day that I did, all of the memories have turned from grief to joy. We have found good things to remember him for.
Well, let's pray. And I want you to make a decision now as you listen to this tape. And as you listen to this message, I want you to make a decision to allow God to do what he wants to do in your life. Now, that's a key to happiness and fulfillment right there.
Amen.
Make that decision. So let's pray. You're agreeing with me, Barbara?
Yes, amen.
Father God, I just thank you that you're the God of transition. You're the God, really, that overshadows dying and death. You're the one that brings both ends of these things, these grievous things, really to life and completion. Now, Father God, we're praying today for people that have had great loss of loved ones. Lord, it seems like their tears would never be dry, and it seems like that tear has been running down the wrong way, that they've been stuffing some of this. And Lord, we know that you're there, and you're the one that gave us tears of the heart as well as tears on our face. And I'm praying, asking right now, Jesus, that you would somehow turn our emotions to a very healthy thing. Lord, take away the grief that has sucked the life out of us, that has just sapped our energy. We're asking you to take that grief as we, by an act of our will, an act of choice, we roll that over on you and say, Jesus, I can't carry it anymore. Would you please take it? It is time for me to go on. And Lord Jesus, I've been so holding on to the death package that I couldn't see the life package. And Jesus, I'm ready to go on, but I can't do it on my own. So Lord Jesus, I'm asking you right now to take this. I'm offering it up to you as a sacrifice here. I'd give it to you. I know the word says that you bore our griefs and our sorrows, and I haven't been able before this moment to give it to you because of the loss of a marriage or the loss of a child or a mate or a parent. I've just been locked in grief. It's just had a stranglehold on me, a death grip. But today, Jesus, I'm asking you to release the grip and to hold on to me, Jesus. I need you to hold me close. And Jesus, I know you won't hurt me, and all the plans that you have for me are for good and not for evil. And Lord Jesus, before today, I couldn't do it. But today, I choose by an act of my will to let you have the hurt, to let you have the memories, the horror, the grief, the trauma, the loss, the sorrow. Thank you, Jesus. Even the anger, even the bitterness. And Lord Jesus, sometimes I know I've charged you wrongly, and today I release that by an act of my will. I won't hold you responsible for my deep grief and sorrow anymore. I want to be forgiven here. I want to forgive myself, and I want to release you and even forgive you because I wrongly charged you. And Jesus, I thank you now that I just sense for our friends a great peace and great cleansing and great release and great healing now is flowing into their hearts. Lord, you're mending damaged emotions. You're mending and taking the sting out of those horrendous memories. Father God, it doesn't mean that we won't remember those things of the past and those people we love so dearly. But Lord Jesus, you're going to let us see it through new eyes. Eyes of love and eyes of release and eyes that have been healed. And I thank you, Lord, you're changing our mindset from one of death to one of victory. And Lord Jesus, the devil didn't win. The devil didn't win. I thank you, and today is proof of that, that you're healing us because you're the one that can. So Jesus, I'm asking you to just release us from all of those things. We're accepting your release and your plan and your vision. And Lord Jesus, we choose to get up and go on today. We choose to breathe life and not death. We choose to speak life and not death. We choose to focus on life and not death. And so Jesus, you're the one that said that you would make up to us for the years the locusts have eaten. And we need that. We need that. We need to know in the nighttime hours that you're there and that you really have healed the past. So Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. We hold on to you, and hold on to us, Jesus. Just press us close to you. Press us into your very garment. Thank you, Jesus. Let us feel and sense your very garment and your holy touch. Thank you, Jesus. Take away the defilement of death, the defilement of loss and grief and sorrow, and give us new life. Wash us in the water of the Word. Wash us in the springs of life, Jesus. Let us know in a new way what communion means to you. We want to know that. We want to have a communion meal with you that we really do understand. Thank you for healing our emotions, our memories, our feelings, our thought patterns. And Jesus, today, as an act of our will, we say, I choose life. I choose life. I turn away from death and every form of death, and I choose life. Thank you, Jesus, for being a part of this prayer, listening to it, and giving it to us. In your precious name, Jesus, amen.
Oh, praise God. We can rejoice with Paul. As he said, and he got this from Hosea, Darren, and it says, O grave, where are your thorns? O death, where is your sting? And then Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, He says, "Oh, death, where is your